Your Honor, I'd like to present to the ladies and gentlemen of the jury with Exhibit B, a bag of Sweet Tango apples.
Mmm, boy, these apples are delicious.
And zesty? Mmm, and sweet.
Best I ever tasted.
Your Honor, I object.
Overruled. Court dismissed. We need to recess to the grocery store for some Sweet Tango apples.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at SweetTango.com.
Mystery to beat conspiracies, the curiosity. Spin the tales of Daniel and Robosaur. Defy explanation, leave you wanting more. All my findings, government denies. J-Clone guides you through the lies. Flat Earth claims, they say there's no proof. But we know the truth, we're living proof. No life without government's hand. Manipulation across the land. They say we're free, but that's their lie. We see the truth with open eyes. Mouse hole, a mystery unsolved. Tumor sealed, governments involved. Change the world, speak the truth, expose the lies. That's our move. Off the grid, we raise our quail. Homeschool our kids, government's education fail. Collected rain, though it's illegal. Natural resources can't be controlled by the legal. Conspiracies, they're all around. In this shack, the truth is found. Living free from their control. We know the truth, we won't be sold.
Welcome back to the shack. I'm angry in here.
I'm Daniel.
And I'm Wilbur.
I'm Zach.
Welcome back, that's right. There's one thing that we like in this shack and that we need. It's the truth. And that's why we're here, to discuss the truth. And we have a very special guest joining us in the shack today. The rumor is he may be Vincent Van Gogh's, kin down the line. We're joined today by Ronnie Van Gogh.
Hey.
Welcome, Ronnie.
Welcome, Ronnie.
Welcome.
It's great to be here.
Shack's nice, ain't it?
It is nice.
Out in the middle of nowhere.
It's quaint.
You burnt that piece of paper I wrote the coordinates on, right?
I did. Okay. I actually ate it.
Good, even better.
After I burnt it.
We'll burn your poop after.
Okay, good.
Okay.
I was going to say, I think it was on arsenic paper.
Okay. Ooh.
Or asbestos.
Is that why I'm grumbly down there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe. It's okay. It's not enough to really do anything potential, like life-threatening dangerous.
I've got some rumblations.
Speaking of life-threatening.
Yeah?
What are we talking about today?
Well, I think we're just going to kind of talk about corruption and natural disasters and
natural resources and
now
people in need of help.
I was going to say, top of this, is we're going to get into all kinds of things with all kinds of things. Talking about the hurricanes and like the people needing relief.
People stuck. People dying.
This is horrible.
People starving.
People are dead.
Mm-hmm.
People are dying in the heart of the United States. This isn't some remote place way off in the middle of nowhere you can get to. There are major highways within 20 miles of where people are stranded and dying.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And a big thing we're going to talk about today is the poorness that the U.S. government is doing to help save these people. The absolute backwards, like the actual, they're stopping citizens
from helping
citizens. And even maybe more step beyond that is, you know, we're going to talk about causation.
Sabotaging citizens.
Yeah, your garden variety incompetence mixed with capitalistic greed,
mm-hmm.
mixed with corporate greed,
mm-hmm.
And corruption, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and
it's
a pretty
wicked combo.
I guess at the very top, I just want to make it very clear, is some podcasts have done it very poorly. We're not making light of this whatsoever.
No, this is not a light subject.
People are dying. People are dead. A company I used to work with has already found 15 bodies. And like we talked about the videos and stuff, like it's Tennessee. It's North Carolina. It's, you know, Georgia. It's places like 75. Highway 75 runs right beside one of them.
Yeah.
People have lost everything that they have, including their pets, including their family. Gone.
Everything.
Literally washed away in front of them.
Towns gone.
off the map.
Communities just disappeared.
When we were getting lunch, we just talked about that. The videos of like a guy, all he could do is videotape, you know, his neighbors getting washed away.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do nothing. It's a wall of water. I people don't get how strong water is.
It's a destructive force.
Well, I was on the river, and for anybody that wants to know anything about that stuff, if you start seeing sticks, little tiny sticks start floating downstream in big groups, that's your sign to get out of there. That means the wall's coming.
Mm.
And we lost a truck. I told you that story one time. We lost a whole truck and boat trailer. It's parked 8-9 feet off the bank. But we just had to keep going down river as fast as we could in a boat. Because we knew if we stopped to try to get it in, you know, the truck was gone. And we finally got to a lake and just pulled off. And
floods are no joke.
No. So where do you guys want to start, Ronnie?
I don't know. I mean, it's a tragedy. You know, my prayers go out to the North Carolinians and the folks in Tennessee and even the people in Florida, which are just as bad in a lot of ways, but mm-hmm. they are more adapt. Accustomed to that yeah. storm, you know, that type of storm, right? Mm-hmm. That'd be like us getting, you know, tornadoes on the coast of North Carolina, where I'm from.
Mm-hmm.
It, you know, we're not used to that type of weather.
Right.
So
yeah.
it's pretty tragic. And I would love to start at the top and start, you know, what was the genesis of the failures as they happened? You know, like what I've heard talk of levees failing, dams failing, or dams being opened intentionally. I've heard talk of that.
You know, we can talk about the levee. I know a little bit about dams and levees for multitudes of reasons, because when we had the flood up here mm-hmm. a couple years ago, we lost 138 people from two dams failing in a highly populated area. And it's because there is no, those two specifically that I know personally, there was no infrastructure. They had been crumbling for decades. And I mean, the one we would fish under, we were kind of nervous to fish under, not like on a rainy day or, you know, just with the normal amount of water it was holding back, because it was missing two big chunks out of it.
Mm.
I mean, they don't, you know, it's like the bridge failure in the U.S. Nobody's ever talks about that either. I've been underneath these bridges, major highway bridges, and looked up and been, oh, that's not good. There's chunks of I-beams, like, that aren't
corroded.
There.
Yeah. Just corrosion yeah. everywhere.
Well, some of them were just not there. You know, not even just corroded. Like, they had been so corroded, they fell off.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd see them in the river and stuff like that. And then the intentional side of it, I don't even, like, that's a whole other step up. And I'm sure there's stuff with that. But once one dam goes, they all go. And that's what happened in Michigan. Three or four of them burst, two majors and then, like, two or three minors. Because once the big guy broke, that wall of water is unstoppable.
They were downstream, the smaller ones?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That wall is unstoppable.
Yeah.
People think they can, like, they're strong enough. Like, if you're standing in a stream, you know, you're strong enough for the current. Yeah, for, like, 2 minutes. But the water is not stopping. Like, it's not, there's no, well, you'll just wait till it like, at the beach. A wave washes against you, and then it retreats. Like,
yeah.
But with a river, it doesn't stop. You
constant flow.
Yeah. You're going to lose that battle.
Every time.
And, I've heard that, you know, the levees and dams broke, and these people had literally zero warning. I'm hearing that it's like a 1,000-year flood type of situation. Some mm-hmm. of the segments of the river are completely new paths now.
And they've wandered pretty far.
I don't know what to do to help. I feel like I need to personally go help just because I'm from that area.
I'm always scared to send money to any of those things because 90% of the time it didn't go to anything.
No.
That's supportive.
No. No, absolutely not. I've heard FEMA turning people away and other pretty bad things. I don't know how much we can get into, but I've seen some video of some pretty sketchy things at best of communities that have set up feeding tents and feeding areas and aircraft coming down and blowing them away intentionally.
Go ahead and talk about that more because there's videos of that.
Right.
So some of the stuff we're going to talk about, it's more like he said, she said. That there's you can find the video of that happening.
Yeah, multiple videos and then like pictures of the aftermath. That was so. These communities, the mountain people of North Carolina and Tennessee, are very strong. Mm-hmm. They are self-sufficient. They're resilient. They're wonderful people, and so they have done the majority of the work of the recovery work themselves, cutting trees, recovery, retrieval of bodies, even clearing the roads. And they had a group of tents set up, and they were cooking and feeding each other and everything. And then you see video of a helicopter coming down and hovering above, because a helicopter's got a really strong downdraft, like the vortex or whatever you want to call it. And it blew all of the tents away. Like, it intentionally came down
to wreck it.
To wreck it. It destroyed their setup and then flew away.
So for devil's advocate, was it a filming helicopter? Or what kind of helicopter was it?
It looked like a military helicopter. From what I remember in the video, it was gray.
Hmm. Okay. I just,
and like pretty flat, like flat. It didn't have like Channel 5 or anything like that.
Yeah, I guess what I'm asking or what I'm thinking is malicious or ignorance. Was it like one of these people trying to get a video of this set up and they just weren't like, were not thinking slash did not care? So they went down to get a video and realized, oh crap, the helicopter blows tons and tons of downwind.
They were pretty close. Like, I feel like they could have easily gotten a picture or video. Well, why would they hover right above it if they're trying to get a picture? That doesn't make any sense.
I don't think they were. I'm just saying, you know, for people that are going to ask questions.
Exactly. From what I saw, I didn't see any windows open, any cameras out and or hanging out of the helicopter or anything like that. I want to go back and rewatch it with those thoughts in mind, but it doesn't make any sense. Any professional, any pilot of a helicopter knows. Is going to know the repercussions of that.
100%.
It doesn't, there was nowhere to land. It did, you know, it was bizarre and people were furious. And
so just wreck this community stuff that we're going in, because it's almost all been community.
Yeah. Like
there's very, 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 at least from what we know, what we've seen. I know we personally know people in the area. You personally know people in the area. So it seems mostly that it's small organizations and locals,
churches
working towards this thing, mm-hmm.
churches and private organizations, mm-hmm. citizen organized situations happening, not government.
Right.
The government is turning people away. The government is threatening to arrest people that are actively helping with their private aircraft. The government is telling people they're not allowed to take showers unless they have flip-flops when they haven't had a shower in 2 weeks. It's insane.
Mm-hmm.
It's insane, and it's enraging, frankly.
Our government is insane. I hear even people outside the shack right now screaming insane it is.
I don't think they can hear it with these microphones.
Oh, okay. Oh.
But, yes, there is somebody screaming outside the shack, and hopefully somebody is doing something about that.
Mm-hmm. I hope so.
Oh, boy.
Oh, gosh. But no, so the helicopter thing's crazy. So I've seen people that were like, so there's a group that I follow. They're literally going through, I won't name the names, but they're a paving company with excavators and all that. And they're building, trying to build a road into, I think it's Chimney Rock, because there's still like 100. And this will come out in like 2 weeks after like what we're talking about right now. So there's going to be some more that comes out after, you know,
we'll
get emails and stuff like that.
This is early.
Yeah. That are going through and like trying to dig roads out to like Chimney Rock, which I still think has 130, 140 people missing. Like, if anybody's seen the pictures, like there's many other towns besides Chimney Rock.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one that you could see pictures of just like, here's what it looked like before. And now there's nothing. It's a sandbar.
Yeah.
It's a sandbar that's left. There's no road. There's not one foundation.
That's a place a lot of people visit in the summer. It's a tourist area. Mm-hmm. Just for scale, at least initially, if not continually, like right now while we're recording, an area the size of Belgium.
The country,
The country had power outages. So about 750,000, each customer. So it's 250,000 customers. So, you know, there's more than one person in most households.
Mm-hmm.
So you're talking 750,000 people
with nothing, without power.
Yeah.
Wasn't there something that they had to sign, that these people needed help to sign up online for?
Yes.
Yeah, no internet, no cell towers.
They don't have anything.
Right. Well, that was Vice President Harris right now made that announcement, went and did that press briefing and told people they can apply for, what is it, $750 or $700, whatever. It's one of those.
Debit card that you can't use because there's no electricity and no banks.
I mean, our friend, our personal friend had his house, we couldn't get a hold of him for a week.
Yeah.
A week. And because they couldn't get, I mean, he's got all these all-terrain vehicles and all that. Like, he couldn't get out to get, and then finally it was like a phoenix, just like, come up and he, I'm alive, you know?
Right, yeah.
Because we were really getting worried. Because if, like, if he didn't survive, nobody's,
yeah,
nobody lived.
That's for sure.
He's a big survival guy. But how are you going to sign up for something to get $750 when there's nothing?
And that's
every
not,
cell phone tire is destroyed.
And that's not even important. Like, what's the money going to do?
Right, nothing.
Let me go to the store. Oh, wait, that's not there anymore.
The store's
not
there.
Let me go to the hotel. Yeah. Wait, oh.
Nothing. They're doing
and
nothing.
And the supplies aren't even at the store, because how are they going to get new shipments of supplies
there's
to
no
the
roads.
Store?
There's no roads.
Even people like to add to what you just said about your friend that has all the off-road vehicles and all of the equipment, it's difficult for them. Like, for an average person that does not have, like, we call them gators or mules,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like the four-wheel drive golf carts, basically.
Yeah.
I mean, what are your options? They're packing in supplies with mules and horses. Like, we've all of a sudden gone back to the 1800s.
Real fast.
Literally, really yeah. fast. And it's only been a week and a half. How long has it been since the storm again?
From when this is being recorded,
week and a
less
half.
Than a week and a half. Less.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, just like a day or so under.
Right, yeah.
But that company I was saying that was digging like a new road, I don't remember which organization was stopping them. One of these organizations was stopping them from putting in, like, they were putting in a stone road. You know, it was a company. That's what they do. They make roads. So they're literally like, well, you know, let's dig so emergency vehicle, like, so people can start getting back here. We have all the equipment. What are we? We're not going to be doing nothing in the next month.
Right. Yeah.
So let's just start making it. And then I cannot remember. So I don't want to say, I don't want to guess.
The
one.
DOT, like,
I don't know. I don't know who was stopping them.
Yeah.
I really don't remember off the top of my head because there's just been so much stuff.
Some three-letter agency.
Well, they can't. Here's the kicker, though. They can't stop the outflow of information from the people with boots on the ground that are there, that are seeing the insanity, seeing the government incompetence, seeing the bottlenecks and the roadblocks, literally and figuratively. They cannot stop the outflow of information,
mm-hmm.
and you know they want to, because it's making everybody realize how incompetent the government is when it comes to a lot of this stuff,
yeah.
and how the local community that know the terrain, that know their neighbors, they're always going to be more effective than some giant governmental body that's coming in with no direction or aim or knowledge of the immediate situation.
Right.
Hillbillies with a tractor will get it done.
Yeah.
Just let them be.
Nine times out of ten.
At that point, it'd be better if they just fully pulled out and just let the hill people take care of themselves.
They're confiscating supplies. FEMA is confiscating supplies.
They're lucky a lot of guns wash away.
Yeah, I mean, and the thing is, like, their funding is supposedly running out or something like that.
Running
well,
out.
Where'd the setting, funding go?
Where'd all of, yeah, all
where's
this
the money,
go?
Lebowski?
Yeah.
I literally shake my son and say that all the time.
Where's the money, Lebowski?
Yeah. When he steals something and runs.
Yeah.
You've seen him just grab something and just bolt.
Yeah, but then he leaves you a suitcase full of dirty undies behind.
Yeah. Yeah,
the ringer can't look empty.
Yeah, it's right.
We spend so much stupid money as a government, as a country.
Huh?
Yeah.
On what?
Nothing.
What?
Nothing. I mean, what did we just send to, I mean, let's just take like 3% of what we keep sending to, what's the
which
fake
one,
war?
Which one this time? There's two going on still right now.
I'll
or is it a skirmish?
Name them.
We got the Ukraine war.
Ukraine, thank you. That's
or the Israel genocide of the Gaza Strip in Palestine.
Is Gaza
that we're funding?
Oh, that's a whole different episode. That's a whole different episode.
We're funding that.
I don't even think Gaza's still there.
No, they bombed it to oblivion.
I know. I think everybody's dead.
Mostly women and children, though, that they killed and bombed.
That's
that,
everybody. Just everybody. But,
oh, yeah. That's every country we bomb. Or we fund bombing. We mostly kill women and children. Obama, drone strike that...
Different episode.
He ran out of bombs.
Wilbur, different episode.
Ran out of bombs.
Obama?
Obama did. Yeah, killed 80% civilians.
Were you the one telling me about the National Guard thing that they sent them all away?
Yeah, I kept. Well, I don't. I can't confirm it.
I couldn't find it. So I want to say this is hearsay.
Okay, it's hearsay.
Because I just. But yeah, continue.
Well, but I have direct info. Real quick, I have direct info that Kamala Harris stopped by the base in Charlotte, North Carolina, for a photo op about disaster relief. Well, Charlotte, North Carolina is not even close to where the devastation is. All right, go ahead. Sorry to interrupt.
No, that's where our friend is. The other friend, and we have two real close people in North Carolina. And they're like, yeah, nothing happened here.
Nope.
And that's where she went.
Yep.
Let's not go to the heart of it all, where actually people are
dead.
Yeah, because they might
rotting under logs where their kids are still looking for them.
Yeah. Yeah.
We have I guess I didn't say that. We have a personal friend that's still missing his dad that was in the Chimney Rock area.
Yeah.
No, it's and then terrible. Sad.
That they're down there looking, like, and she's in Charlotte, yeah. It's just, but say the National Guard thing.
Oh, that I read, or I don't remember where I saw it, but, like, a lot of the National Guard in, like, Tennessee, North Carolina, but they put them on, put them out for training and shipped them to, like, another country right now. This was, like, right before the hurricane came through for training purposes. So they're not here. Like, the National Guard's limited here.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I don't know if that's true.
Well, I mean, you know, we have plenty of money for other things and other people, but not American citizens that are voters that were born here, that are hardworking, rugged people.
And pay taxes.
And
screw them.
It's Which really...
One? No, that's what I was saying.
I can't put into words how frustrated I am. I will be going out there and doing something, whether it's just helping one person that lives there. I will be doing something.
Yeah. I really think you should film it. And we had to probably have a conversation about that earlier, because I think this is one of those things that's just going to get swept. Like, they're going to do their best job
to memory hole it.
To sweep it under the rug. Cause most people they're waiting for everybody to die.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no survivors coming out telling these stories. I follow a kayaking, and I know a bunch of people down there right now from various companies and things, but I follow a kayaking guy that's literally like, they are kayaking down these rivers just trying to find people.
Mm-hmm.
And they found, I think it was like an elderly woman in her house that had went all like a house like this big, a two-story, you know, five bedroom house, whatever. They got ripped down and got shoved into a log jam. So from the outside, you don't even see this big house.
Yeah.
And they go in there and they pull her out and that kind of stuff. So she...
Is she okay?
As far as I know from the video, you know, that she was alive. They pulled her out alive, but she didn't have nothing. You know, how many days can you sit in the middle of nowhere if she couldn't get out? They had to literally, like... The gap they crawled into was maybe like a foot, and it was like...
And the whole house is unstable. I mean, death trap.
It's got hundreds of thousands of pounds of logs on it.
Yeah.
You know, it's good. It's a big hollow spot that this stuff is still moving. It's like this stuff's still settling. There's landslides still going on.
Yeah.
I mean, these mountains are all the whole mountain banks are unstable.
That's the scary part too with the landslides.
Yeah.
You know, you're not stopping and you can't like climb a tree. You can't get out of the way.
No, it goes with it. It takes everything.
Everything with it. I'm sure you've seen the video from Alaska. It was years ago, but like this boat is, they jump on the boat and you hear the landslide coming and they gun it. And the landslide it's like a movie.
Following them?
It comes out and the logs are coming out like right next to the boat and they get away literally.
Looks like a monster.
Seconds.
It looks like Godzilla.
You've seen it.
Yeah. It looks like Godzilla.
They escaped by the skin of their teeth.
I've seen one with ice too, like an ice slug.
Yeah, and and you're not getting away from that.
No.
And so on top of the water, coming from the bottom, coming from everywhere, you got landslides coming from the top of the mountain. Mm-hmm. There's nowhere to go. There's no safety. And this is a once in a thousand year thing in this area. I mean, these people are not prepared for that. And that's not even their fault.
No, it's not their fault.
But there's massive military bases and supply outputs half an hour away. An hour away. You know what I mean? Like, there's the way, and we've all talked about it already, but the way that it's being handled is absurd. There is help. It's not in the middle 500, 600 miles from civilization.
No.
It's 30-minute drive on a highway.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you wanted to pull in every, you know, all-terrain vehicle, and that's, like we already said, like, the locals are trying to do that.
It's sad when we can have over 800 military bases around the world and their infrastructure is more
perfect.
Perfect and ready to go and prepared for about everything. It's taken care of. And here at home, well, if for some reason we just don't have enough money or we can't fund that or be prepared for anything like
They're right down the street from some natural resources, too, from what I understand.
I was going to say, why don't we talk about who's going to benefit from this?
Yeah, who stands to benefit?
So now that all these people are dead and dying, whole cities are destroyed, there's no people, like, even the people, like, we talked, the one guy I seen a video of, like, his whole shop had disappeared, like, he was like, I've lost everything, like, what am I going to do, like, I have nothing, you know, everything's gone, I'm just sitting on my hill, the house is gone, the shop's gone, my business is gone, my farm's gone.
These people don't have flood insurance.
No, it's the middle of the middle of the Smoky Mountains.
Yeah, they're on, exactly. What's the name of that town? It's North Carolina that has
resources.
The resources. The what lithium. Lithium deposit.
I was going to talk about the quartz, but
That's 20 miles away. So they're relatively the same area.
Yeah, large lithium deposit, large high pressure quartz deposit.
I'll look it up.
Which are two resources that the new green scammy agenda is pushing as far as EV, electric vehicles, and the high pressure quartz, from what I understand, is used in AI chips.
I think so.
For computing.
Yeah.
So these are both resources that are both scarce and in high demand. So there's a scarcity and the demand factor that is fully at play. You know, they're pushing electric vehicles on us. So you know what didn't benefit anyone in the storm? Was electric vehicles.
Right. Not at all.
But their diesel and their gas and their chainsaws and all of these things that we've been using for 100 years.
Biggest high quartz deposit in the United States, but one of the biggest in the world. And it's not being mined for, it looks like, a couple decades because the locals stopped it because it was literally destroying the mountains, pulling it out of it.
So good. I'm glad they stopped it.
Well, yeah, it seems, you think, but what happened last, like, well, same thing with the lithium. What happened a couple weeks ago?
Right. The hurricane wiped out that entire area.
Before that.
Oh, sorry.
They were talking about
reopening those mines.
They just got permits to start reopening it, and the communities were out and outraged.
Protesting, yeah.
There's no communities anymore.
No.
There's nobody really to come out and be like, you know, we live here. We don't really want to see the mountain be flooded with pollutants pouring out. Nobody didn't know. When you dig in the ground, it's never just these things. Like with coal. Coal is bad in itself as far as the environment, when you like the rock, like the mineral itself has a lot of properties with it that's, you know, rough on life. But it's the associated materials that when you pull them out, like, it's always full of radioactive materials, hydrochloric and sulfuric acids, and literally, like, some of these waters that come out of these holes you're pulling coal out of are 1.2 pH.
Yeah, which is very, 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 very acidic. Very.
I've seen it eat the leather off a boot in about a minute.
Yeah.
One of the biggest resources in the mountains of North Carolina is the water, actually.
Mm-hmm.
That's why, you know, the real estate there is booming, is because there's water. There's clean water and a lot of it, right?
Oh, no.
You know, you go to the Rocky Mountains, it's not like that. Like, there's water sources, but it's not as prevalent.
Right, yeah. Probably not as clean either. And
probably, I mean, it depends, but yeah, I mean, it depends. But something like that, like these mining operations are going to just destroy
hundreds of
the
miles.
Natural ecosystems.
The water table.
Grandfather Mountain, I'm not sure how close that is to where this stuff is going on, but Grandfather Mountain's technically a rainforest.
Hmm. Yeah,
right?
There's a few
they're
of
a rainforest,
them right there.
And it's a huge area, but the biodiversity is insane. And it's a very delicate ecosystem, and you're talking about ripping mountains open and dumping all of whatever, and that all just goes downstream, all the way down to the Cape Fear River.
And everybody that lives there is the ones that have to deal with it.
Yeah.
Not the company, not the corporations.
About 2 hours away.
Not the electric
from this area.
Close
not the
enough.
Electric vehicle companies. I mean, it's right there. I mean, as far as, that's 200 miles by road, probably.
The crow flies
70 miles by the crow,
yeah, right there.
Well, I think all these mining companies can eat crow, if you ask me.
Yeah, they can shove a crow.
Yeah. Let's take a crow and, I don't know.
All right. Oh, my gosh, you scared the hell out of me. I was looking away.
I think a crow just ran to the shack window.
It scared me. All right. Let's, give me a second. You guys keep talking.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't know. This is awful. Are we going for a break?
As soon as I find an
advertisement? Okay. Yeah. We need a Flavors of the Force to uplift this episode.
Yeah, I don't want to make jokes. It's hard. You know, it's hard because it's, you know, extremely. What can anybody do? You know what I mean? What can anybody do? There's somebody out there that needs help.
Yes.
But they can't call anybody.
No, they got no way to call.
It's like, I just want to drive there and start looking. Like, load my bag up and start hiking.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
looking for people.
Looking for people, literally.
Yeah.
Just pull people out of and bring debris.
Bring my drone and bring my cameras. And, well, we kind of got off on a tangent, but like, we were talking about that. Like, you brought it
filming
up.
Filming it.
You know, I want to document it. I don't want to document it in an exploitative way,
right.
But I want to document
it. Right. Yeah.
You know, with respect to the situation, but just for the record too. Like,
you
just
probably
for the record.
Find people with the drone. I wonder if anybody's got them down there.
Oh, there's tons of drone footage going
okay,
on.
Okay, good. I haven't seen much, so of that type of footage.
And I don't know if they're grounding them or like what's going on, but you know, the
because
software
because that would give you a whole different
them.
Look like to find people.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Cuz people don't get how big some of these log jams are.
No.
I dealt with they're called strainers. I dealt with them for a long, long time. And that's where everybody ends up. You just go look in the strainers because that's where whether you're alive or dead, you will end up in a strainer.
Mm-hmm.
But they have so many layers that you can be inside one of these things.
That's terrifying.
It's horrible. Like they're pulling people out of them left and right. All right. We'll be back after this ad break.
Hey, Daniel. Are you hungry? I think we can get a pizza or something delivered. Yeah.
Sorry, I'm snorting some garlic dust.
Well, garlic dust? That'll wake you up in the morning. What kind of garlic dust?
Flavors of the Forest, Bigfoot Breath.
Well, why the heck are you snorting that? Is there something in it? What's the secret ingredients? Why does it taste so good?
Love.
Is it love or is it
heroin.
Adrenochrome? Or is it hair? Give me that bottle. Let me see the ingredients. What? Only raw garlic and pink salt? Wait, to be more specific, 97% raw garlic and pink Himalayan salt, 3%. That's it?
I thought it was made of snow.
It looks like it. It's as white as snow. These are small batch and seasonings that where you can enjoy the health benefits of Flavors of the Forest raw garlic.
Where could you possibly get this magical powder?
You can get it on flavorsforest.com/corn. That's flavorsforest.com/corn. If you want to put garlic on any of your food and make it just taste 100 times better, this is the product for you. This is better than any garlic powder on the market. It's more powerful than garlic powder. This is garlic dust, and it's Bigfoot breath. It'll give you that garlic flavor that you need to make your food elite. You need to make your food. The people, when they eat it, they'll be like, this is some conspiracy why this tastes so good, but it's not a conspiracy. The secret is Flavors of the Forest, Bigfoot Breath. Get you some!
When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment your work stress disappears as you kayak through the canyons. Or the moment you discover the life-changing effects of prickly pear chocolate. But nothing beats the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the very first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.
Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? I'm Kat, founder of Ritual. We're making traceability the new standard for the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I couldn't find a multivitamin I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested, and clean label project certified. Oh, and our vitamin D3? It comes from sustainably harvested lichen from England, not sheep. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Your Honor, I'd like to present to the ladies and gentlemen of the jury with Exhibit B, a bag of Sweet Tango apples.
Boy, these apples are delicious.
And zesty? And sweet.
Best I ever tasted.
Your Honor, I object. Overruled. Court dismissed. We need to recess to the grocery store for some Sweet Tango apples.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.
And we're back.
I think it's, I just had a thought though. I think it's funny that how these like major corporations or like security thing, you know, they can fly a drone over a crowd and facial recognize everybody and ID you and know how many people are there, but they can't take during a disaster that same technology to go search for people that are missing, like identify people in the woods or just help find missing people. Not, I don't think one of them is flying a drone out to do that.
Yeah, like
help.
Thermal.
Thermal, anything. Energy, anything.
Imaging, thermal imaging.
Our U.S. government has drones, like countless number of drones. They fly over other countries and, hey, I bet instead of flying over another country and dropping bombs on them, how about we fly it over our own country and search for people?
What but, a novel concept.
War. We got war to fight. Yeah, that's for democracy. We got to spread democracy.
We got war to fight. We have money to hand out to people that...
We bombed their country and made them come here. Yeah. And then we let them in for free and then give them free money. The more than people like this are getting, more than veterans are getting more help than homeless.
Do you know that there are the government subsidizing apartments and paying three times the market value to these landlords? And the people that are staying there don't have to pay rent for 2 years and they get food. And they get all the utilities, and they're fully furnished.
What's going on? Like, why?
It's an invasion.
Yeah.
Destabilization.
That's it. Yeah, destabilize. Yeah.
Look how polarized everything is right now.
Extremely.
Extremely polarized. And these areas that are just hit by these storms are a certain...
Demographic?
Certain demographic, a certain...
class?
Certain voting block.
Mm-hmm. And a certain working class.
Working class, blue-collar working class, absolutely.
So I think you're getting right up to one of the things we want to talk about, is are these storms manufactured or maybe to a lesser extent being steered certain ways, you know... It's
manipulated.
We're going to have an episode come out in a couple weeks. That's what was today's episode was going to be before Ronnie joined us, is the actual patents for the U.S. government for weather manipulation and control. I think there's like 150 of them. I had the list pulled up that we were going to do an episode on. We'll do it next week. That a lot of them are more or less, as far as the patents go, steering or redirecting.
Yeah.
Like this big sound cannons for apple orchards. It's not getting rid of the weather. It's more or less pushing it somewhere else with a big sound cannon. So with these storms, these targeted areas, like so once in a thousand years, it went right up the wrong side of the Appalachians or whatever. It went, you know, it came in from the backside and crossed over, which as far as anybody that's alive, that's never happened. You know, sure, we've gotten rain that way from hurricanes, but not the center of a storm riding the ridge all the way up. It just, we've talked about it a lot with storm systems. They don't like to sit there. That's a big upcurrent push spot.
Mm-hmm.
So if anything, it should have thrown it over.
Right, yeah.
Like, and they usually dissipate greatly before they even get inland that far.
Right. That's another weird thing. There's a lot of weird stuff with the storm. Some of it, you talked about it. I think there may be some disinformation with some of the conspiracy theorists that are going way overboard with some of the Doppler stuff and being like all the stuff they're pointing out. I'm like, okay, that's just what they look like, the swirls, you know. But then there is weird stuff. So
like when you get the straight lines that like where that show up on the radar where airplanes are flying in the same spots where they're flying and crossing each other, the storm just happens to go right through those paths.
So that's, I guess, what I'm asking you to is. Was it manipulated? Was it created? Was this a targeted area for the quartz and the lithium? Was it just more of a happy coincidence for these guys? I'm talking for the industrial companies.
Mm-hmm. Corporate government.
Yeah, corporate and government.
Same thing.
Wipe out these people to get to these resources.
I mean, you know what they say, never let a disaster go to waste.
Right.
Yep. Oh, yeah. I mean, they right? do that a lot.
And
yeah.
So that, I mean, they could easily just be taking full advantage of this tragedy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If we're slow to respond, if we're slow to help, you know,
yeah.
more people will die. So it's less people we have to deal with on the back end.
Exactly. And I mean, to speak to the weather manipulation, I think that's possible. I mean, I'm not educated in that area enough to, you know, give some definitive, like, strong opinion about it. I think crazier, you know, if we know anything about it, they have something going on related to it, right?
Like, yeah.
It's not made up. It's not like I imaginary.
Said, over 150 U.S. government patents for weather manipulation technologies.
But since 1940, right?
Yeah.
I don't even the one on my list, I don't think even goes that far.
The one was from the 40s.
I'm not saying they don't go that far back.
Yeah.
I'm saying the 150 I'm talking about
are
much younger.
Yeah.
So they've been doing
HARP, you know, all that stuff.
Oh, gosh, HARP.
Yeah.
All the, you know, the directed energy weapons mm-hmm. and all that kind of thing. I mean, you know, what was Tesla onto way back in the day?
Mm-hmm.
Why did they take him out? He's harnessing electricity from...
The atmosphere.
The atmosphere.
Or, yeah. The ether.
So what are they... You know what I mean? Like... Mm-hmm. What happened in Hawaii with the fires and stuff. You know, there's so much talk about what happened there with that. And people are equating it, you know, in terms of like the weather control.
But they got $400. Each family got $400.
And now those homes are all owned by white people.
Yeah. Well, remember Oprah and The Rock both said, you know, made that commercial so people can donate money to these people.
Yeah, because Oprah and The Rock don't have any money to donate.
No, but they can shoot a commercial to get other people to donate.
Dude, HARP, do you know what Oprah is spelled backwards? Harpo.
Harpo. What's that mean?
That's her production company.
Is Harpo?
Yeah.
Is it really?
Yes, it is. That's a fact. It's been there for years.
Mm.
And I heard she's terrible to work for, too.
Oh, from
somebody that worked for Harpo.
Why?
For a production company.
I mean, there's signs of her that, you know, she praises Harvey Weinstein, things like that. She's
really?
She is in the elite class like no other. She is so part of all of that.
Daniel here pays no mind to any of those people.
Me either. I don't care for them. They're not human beings.
I don't know. You always know more than I do when it comes to these people.
That's just from what I've seen. Like, because horrible things happen, like the Harvey Weinstein thing that was coming out. The Jeffrey Epstein stuff that was coming out, now the P. Diddy stuff. I mean, these horrible things that are done, like children stuff, I tend to pay attention and want to know what's going on, even though they never give you full answers. They never give you the real story. They'll throw people like patsies under the bus and then blame it all on them and wipe their hands clean like everything's figured out. But yeah, she was back like award shows thanking Harvey Weinstein, saying how amazing he is, how good he is for the community, how good of a guy he is. And then after he gets in trouble, not word is mentioned of that. Those clips are kind of hid, scrubbed from the internet. She didn't say one positive thing about him after. So why before? When everyone knew all this stuff that was in Hollywood, knew what was going on. What a game is she playing?
Well, you know what they say about Hollywood.
What's that?
It's who you know and who you blow.
That's 100%
true. That is accurate.
100%.
Who you're forced to blow.
Yeah.
So it depends on if you're those young actors. I mean,
100%.
They get... Yeah.
Yeah. 100%.
A big, sweaty, buttered man.
With a weird penis, as so one of the actresses accounted.
Man, that has to be pretty weird for that to be the thing you remember. That's a bad situation. So for that to stick out, be like,
it's even worse.
What do you think of the weather control technology?
Sorry.
Daniel tries to keep some semblance of an episode.
So let's zoom out for a second and just look at what we just did. I was going to make the statement that all the celebrity crap is a distraction. It literally just sidetracked our conversation.
Right there.
Because it is a distraction.
Daniel didn't care, so Daniel remember what we were talking about, got us back on track.
Thank you, Daniel.
Daniel's grounded.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Weather control technology.
You know, with all the patents, we have patents and stuff. You know, obviously there's signs. Let's say those patents don't even work, all right? We'll throw them all out. But there's still signs that they're trying to do this stuff.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's...
But then you got John Brennan, who was, I think, our State Department or Department whatever. He was in our government when Obama was in office, but he made a speech at, forget what college it was, some commencement speech he was given, John Brennan, and he said that he admitted to like chemtrails, but he didn't call them that. He called upper atmospheric aerosol injections. That's what he referred to that as. We know we have weather manipulation technology. It rains 52 times a year in Dubai once a week because they spray stuff in the sky to make it rain once a week. And they admit that. They talk about it. It's a known
it's
thing.
It's timed. It's timed. They say it's going to rain from 1 to 4, you know, just so everybody knows.
It's that accurate?
Yeah, it really is.
It rains 52 times a year there, once a week.
They're in the desert, and they got green, like, grass.
Well, I know they do the rain, but I didn't know it was that accurate.
I'm not joking. Yeah. It'll be like, hey, guys, it's Sunday from 1 to 4 is when the rain is, so make sure you're in the building for those times, because it's that accurate. Nobody carries an umbrella.
Oh, my goodness.
So you're going to sit here and say, you know, can we control a hurricane? Why not? We can do all sorts
of
other stuff.
You can seed a hurricane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Are they making the hurricane or are they steering it?
Right, yeah.
You know what I mean? Or boosting it.
Right.
You know,
it'd be easier to boost it and steer it than it would be to just make it from whole cloth.
Say it again?
I think it would be easier to boost it.
Yes, yeah,
or
I agree.
Steer it mm-hmm. than make it from...
Because it is a hard hurricane season. It is, right?
It is hurricane season.
And they're forming, as far as we can tell, in the natural pathway that they form.
Yeah, and usually hurricane seasons, like from growing up on the coast of North Carolina, like when one happens, usually you get a few.
Right, it's time, yeah.
Some seasons you get none, or they all stay way out in the Atlantic.
Mm-hmm. Right, they don't ever come
to
anywhere
near
shore. You
don't get any, and it's fine. And it has been... You know, this season's been obviously very active. We have another one on its way that's going to hit.
I do want to talk about that, but yeah. So you got anything else to add for weather control manipulation?
I mean, the one patent that, and I see a lot of people talking about it online is saying like the planes are spraying silver, like iodide in the sky. And then that like changes the pressure. I don't know what it is, but it helps guide a hurricane towards that. I don't know if that's real or not, but I think that's even what that patent from the 40s was saying.
Yeah.
But whether or not if that is true, there were airplanes that showed up on the radar that were flying right by the hurricane, that the hurricane happened to go right through those areas, made landfall right where those crossed land into ocean, those planes, leaving those trails behind. I don't know, but it's just maybe if I don't believe in it, it's still a weird coincidence. I guess that's all I can say for that.
Yeah.
So speak into this, like you just said, we have it's possibly the biggest hurricane ever, at least in recorded history, is the next one, Milton. So it jumped from a category 2 to a category 5 in 2 hours.
That's insane.
And then they downgraded it shortly after that back to a category 4, in my opinion. It didn't deserve to be downgraded. I think they realized they were panicking people mm-hmm. so much they took it down from a 5 to a 4.
Yeah.
So
not that the storm lost power.
Oh, okay. So that, they're doing optics on the storm?
Yeah.
Because nobody can leave Florida.
No, I talked to a friend this afternoon. And she said that everything's hemmed up from last week.
Yeah, nobody can leave.
So they have 3 weeks worth of supplies, and they have most of the windows boarded. Her husband had to fight people for plywood at the hardware store, basically. Not literally
not
fight,
a fight, but they had to run up and get it, yeah.
So they're battening down the hatches, and they're prepared, thank goodness. But where she is, it's going to cross. The eye is projected to cross literally right over.
Yeah.
So they're going to get it. But it needs to go south a few miles to miss them with like the hardest stuff. It doesn't even matter. It's gonna be
devastation. There's gonna be they're gonna be affected majorly.
Yeah, yeah, no matter what, because they're already hurting from last week. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it's kind of insult to injury situation. And thank goodness there's no gas. You know what I mean? They have enough gas for their generator to run for a couple of weeks and their freezer stocked and all that good stuff. But they're fortunate. There's a lot of people that don't have that.
Anything.
They don't have the resources to do that. They could have been in a mobile home that got wiped out by the previous one. They have nothing. I mean, You're in a hurricane shelter that you usually would stay in after the storm. Now you're going through another huge, strong storm.
Yeah.
That's so terrifying.
It looks like Milton's averaging 175 miles per hour.
That's not good.
No, it's one of the, well, like I'll read you some statistics for hurricanes in the past, but some data has been collected to suggest over 200 miles per hour, which normally it's tornadoes that get that fast because they're a lot smaller.
Mm-hmm.
Gotta remember, this thing is spinning that fast.
It's the size of a state.
It's the size of a country. It's yeah. the size, you know,
Belgium.
It's probably bigger than Belgium.
Oh, okay. But oh, that was the power outage.
That was the power outage. But some of the worst hurricanes ever have barely touched 175 miles per hour. Some of the most infamous ones, they're lucky if they hit, as far as the storms, 140 to 150.
Hazel was probably one of those, like way back. Hurricane Hazel hit the North Carolina coast and decimated.
Andrew was 175 at top speed. Wilma was 185 top speed. Allen was 190 top speed. I'm trying to see anybody that beats 200.
Yeah.
There's nobody that beats 200, so
I don't know.
Milton's pretty big. Milton's pretty angry.
Hazel was 134. But that was 1954.
Right.
So I mean, they didn't have the hurricane codes that they have now, codes.
And then something I want to say, like Noah was flying around Milton. And I seen one of these TikTokers, like a conspiracy TikToker, talking about what are they doing? What are they doing? Personally, I don't think they're doing nothing nefarious. They're the ones trying to read this thing. And the reason they're flying circles around it is because of how big it is. There's no single weather station they have out there that can read this thing accurately. So they're literally trying to fly above it to get any kind of idea of what it's actually doing. Because it's eating things. Like it's eating these weather, it's ripping them out of the ocean and stuff like that.
Yeah.
No, it's crazy. After this, I'll settle down. I want to look at the shark trackers. So that's one thing. Anybody that doesn't know, if you want to see how bad a hurricane season is going to be, watch the U.S. shark trackers. The sharks always leave a week early before any hurricane. And most of the time, they're much more accurate than any kind of weather prediction system.
Interesting.
They'll go sit out in the trenches. And they'll wait for the hurricanes to pass. So you know it's safe when they come back.
Yeah.
All these tagged sharks, well, they'll tell you when a storm's going to be really bad. I kind of wonder how long ago they left for this one.
Hmm. That'd be interesting.
I'm getting some texts coming through right now with like hurricane relief stuff that I could hit up on Facebook. So I might do that later. They're looking for like volunteer drivers and stuff.
There yeah. you go.
That'd be awesome.
There's freaking roads.
People need them. Yeah, people need help.
So it's almost as, it is about as wide as Florida is tall.
Wow.
So the heart of the storm is going to pass, you know, depending on where the heart of the storm is, where the worst of it's going to be. But the whole, all of Florida is going to be touched by this hurricane.
Is it like 400 miles?
It's looking, that's what I'm looking at a map right now. I'd say something like that. Average speed 175, top speed 205.
Dude, that's insane.
Category mm-hmm. 5 that was being downgraded to a category 4.
Like a tornado is what, 300 miles an hour?
Yeah. So it's been downgraded, but the categories are by speed and size, and it did slow down a little bit, but it's still going 200 miles an hour, you know, 175 yeah, miles
it's
an
not
hour.
Better.
No.
180 miles an hour.
Category 4, like any large storm like that, there's multiple factors. So for example, like where I'm from, it might not be strong winds, right? But if you have a lot of rainfall and then on the back half of it, those reverse winds come through, they don't have to be that strong because once the ground is saturated, trees start dropping.
Fall. Yeah.
They just fall. So it could be not as strong of a storm, but if it's packing a lot of rain, it's going to do as much damage to at least trees, you know, which mm-hmm. fall on houses, which block roads, blah, 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 blah. You know, mm-hmm. it'd kill people. And mm-hmm. and so the it's funny because it's like, you know, well, the wind speed, but not necessarily, you know, that a lot more damage can happen with less wind speed depending on the amount of rainfall. So yeah. hopefully, I don't know.
The core is 30 miles wide and the extended core is 80 miles wide.
Jesus.
That's big.
That's
gargantuan.
Well, that's us to past Columbus.
Yeah.
Like, and it takes us an hour and a half to drive that.
How fast is it moving?
I don't know about the actual.
How fast is it traveling?
I don't know.
That's another factor to what I was just saying. Like if it's just hanging out, dumping water.
Yeah, no. Yeah. So and it hasn't expected, like, once again, everybody, we're recording this before this one hits. It hasn't expected, sorry, I just seen it, storm surge of 6 feet, which the average above sea level of Florida is 6 feet.
Oh, wow.
That sounds low. Because the storm surge for the other one that just, for Helene,
mm-hmm.
was.
It may have something to do with how wide it is. That.
Yeah.
That it's this one's so wide, it's moving more water.
Or lunar cycle.
It could be too. That too. But they expect rain accumulations to be between 2 and 4 inches an hour, all the way up to 6 inches.
And their ground is already saturated from the previous storm.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you know,
like the aquifers are full.
Yeah.
So there's one prediction I'm looking at by, what is this? NBC New York. Suspects it'll be a category 3 by the time it makes landfall.
No, I hope so.
I hope so too. I just don't believe these people.
No, I don't either.
Oh, I'm sorry. Tampa Bay is expected to get a storm surge between 8 and 12 feet.
Oh. There you go.
The heart, wherever the heart hits, is expected to get a storm surge of 8 to 12 feet, with the rest of the storm surge being around 6 to 8 feet.
Yeah, like their beaches are already, or their streets are already beaches. Like they were,
you know,
some of the footage, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like they're just, the house is full.
I've seen the big alligator in that one house.
Really?
Yeah, because it was
stuck.
They don't want to be out in this.
No.
So the guy gets back and he opens his door and water's pouring out and you just hear
alligator.
And there's a big there's like 8 of them in there, but there was one massive one. So he just opens the door and he's getting a stick. It's Florida man. And
they were
stuffed
down.
And
like, yeah, Florida. He's wrestling them.
You know, he's just hitting with a stick. Come on, get out. It's over.
Yeah.
Go back to the swamp.
He needs to get to his natural light that he left in the house when he evacuated.
Yeah.
Oh, I showed Wilbur here. The video of a guy I follow, he was in like a glass bottom kayak,
mm-hmm.
and he's just in his house, like near the second, like in the stairwell, because he's like, I don't know what else to do. He's like, I can't go outside, and you literally see the window is just slapping with rain.
Storm. This is during the storm.
Yeah, this is during the storm. He's like, I can't go outside, and I don't know what but I don't want to leave my kayak because if I get to the second story and I got to go somewhere, I got to have this thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was bad.
That's wild, man.
Wonder if like the government knew the second one was coming and like know it's going to be super devastating, so they're like holding back on helping people until the second one goes through. Then they'll pretend to like, oh, now we're really going to help you and try to save face as much so they can memory hold this before we get into a new war and distract us.
Well, Joe Biden's sleeping, so.
Huh? Come on, man.
You know, the thing.
You know,
all men are created equal, and you know, the thing. We need to stop listening to these damn politicians. We need to stop. You can trust your neighbors. That's it. Trust your neighbors. Try and help your community. Help your family and friends. Provide them food. Provide them water. We can only take care of ourselves. Big Daddy government isn't there for us anymore. They don't. We should call them big corporation because that's what they are. They're just run by our corporations that run our lives and try to control us.
We're living proof. No life without government's hand. Manipulation across the land. They say we're free, but that's their lie. We see the truth with open eyes. Mouse hole, a mystery unsolved. Tumor sealed, governments involved. Change the world, speak the truth, expose the lies. That's our move. Off the grid, we raise our quail. Homeschool our kids, government's education failed. Collected rain, though it's illegal. Natural resources can't be controlled by the legal. Conspiracies, they're all around. In this shack, the truth is found. Living free from net control. We know the truth, we won't be sold. There's no proof, but we know the truth. We're living proof. No life without government's hand. Manipulation across the land. They say we're free, but that's their lie. We see the truth with open eyes. Mouse hole, a mystery unsolved. Tumor seals, government's involved.
change the world, speak the truth, expose the lies. That's our move. Off the grid, we raise our quill. Homeschool our kids, government's education fail. Collective brain, though it's illegal. Natural resources can't be controlled by the evil. Conspiracies, they're all around. In this shack, the truth is found. Living free from their control. We know the truth, we won't be sold.
Hey, you guys. You're still here in the shack? Just can't get enough, huh? You just need more shack. Well, here's something special for you, those that are sticking around. Old Wilbur wrote a poem for one of his heroes, a good American icon that's no longer with us. This is an ode to Ernest. James Albert Varney Jr. was an actor slash comedian, best known for playing Ernest, who to me feels like a friend. I go with you to camp, and I follow you to jail. I watch you get scared stupid, and I get scared stupid as well. As I reflect back on my friend Ernest P. Worrell, lots of great emotions and good feelings do unfurl. You embody faith and courage, and saved a bank full of cash. You escaped from jail with electric powers, and you stopped that scumbag Nash. You're always doing what is right, a good example for kids to see. You embody many positive qualities that I know influenced me. You bring us laughter and smiles and are always entertaining. But you can always make us, you can also make us cry, like when you sing, "Gee, I'm glad it's raining." There are endless positive thoughts to recall about the things you say and do. But the most important one of all, you taught the importance of being you. Ernest is truly one of a kind, and that's what makes him great. A message that we're all unique, something no one can recreate. So release your inner Ernest and live life like Ernest would. Don't be afraid to be yourself or to be misunderstood. So let's raise a glass high and have a special toast right here in the shack to Jim Varney, a.k.a. Ernest, and have a sip of the finest, authentic Bulgarian Miak.
Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious-tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples, too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.